Let's do this thing. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're off and rolling here on this Friday morning. You made it. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 14th day of May 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer sending you off into what should be a really, really, really nice weekend with lots of sunshine in the forecast. Today is going to be great, sunny, 24 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny start. There's a chance later in the day we could see some showers, maybe even a thunderstorm late in the day tomorrow. High again, 24, and then we're back into lots of sunshine again on Sunday and 23 degrees. As you head out this morning, if you're going out somewhere, it is right now 7 degrees as we head out and say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
You know what, JR? A little mix here. Okay. Well rested. Got to bed nice and early. It's been interesting. A very nice job that we have, but it's been funny getting back into the old routine, getting a whole lot of sleep. But I said to Hammer, and Hammer has now picked up a phone call, but wanted to throw an early wrench. And that wrench goes to, I'm out in old Riverside South right now full-time, and I'm selling off some of my furniture as I'm making the full-time move, JR. So yesterday, a couple of appointments there to sell a couple of things. And one of them is the gently used, beautiful white couch. It's got the beautiful mahogany handcrafted. It's actually from the Blue Nose 2,
yes.
The wood itself.
Yes.
I have this beautiful couch. So I made the appointment. The lady's coming over. This is the price. This is set. So she walks in, and I said to her, first of all, I'm assuming she's not the biggest lady. I was like, hey, obviously someone's here to help you carry the couch. I drove a half hour to have the meeting. So she comes in, looks around, kind of looks at a couple of spots, and it's going to need a little bit of work. And then she's like, what's the lowest price you'll take? I was
you gotta
be kidding me. Yeah. I drove here for you to give me my cash.
You missed the one big word.
Yeah, and I ain't helping. I'm going to load this right on your back, and you're going to take it right out of the apartment. So early wrench hammer to the lady that wasted my time.
Oh, no.
Just sweating and sharding at the same time.
So you missed the one key word in your ad, the word firm.
Yeah.
The word firm is very essential.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to go negotiate, because anybody that buys anything on wherever your advertised was, Kijiji or something?
Ended up doing, I think,
used Ottawa?
Mira pasted it,
Facebook.
Put it on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
Marketplace.
But now, fortunately, I had a little bit of double action going yesterday. I was also selling my bed, and the boys come in, a couple of fellas there, they're from Rwanda, had a nice little chat, but they kind of came in, they're looking around, and I'm like, okay, you ready to go? They're like, well, we got to go rent a U-Haul. And I'm like, are you sure about this? Because they're also kind of perusing around. I said, listen, got a few pillows here. You can keep the pillows. So they walked out with six pillows, and I was kind of like, do you think I'll ever see them again?
Not a chance.
Nope.
No, for sure they came back a half hour later.
Wow.
Good to go.
Yeah,
super.
I knew they
guys.
With the U-Haul or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. They had the U-Haul.
Yeah.
So they took everything away, and I was kind of looking around. It's like, hey, here's a couple of paintings, and here's a couple other things. So I loaded them up because they were good guys. But the couch lady, so now I'm into a situation here where I've raveled everything together, JR. A couple of items there weren't moving. Like I have this beautiful glass table and this beautiful TV stand that I thought would go quickly, and I've just been a little shocked. So what I've done now is there's a really, really nice package of my chair that has been overly used, that's almost to the point of,
That's not how you described it. Is it overly used?
Well, no, the chair is. The couch isn't. I've never been on the couch itself. It just sat there for X amount of years, but I've rolled the whole package together. So it's a bit of a weekend special, JR.
Gotcha.
So just to let the listeners know, a little weekend special. Also included a tour of the South Rockcliffe Estate.
Much talked about South Rockcliffe.
Exactly.
So the South Rockcliffe Estate, maybe most importantly to the listeners, is about to be going away?
It is,
From the vernacular?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, making the full-time move. I'm going to be
it's the Riverside South Estate now.
Yeah. No, it's a dacha. I'm going to be a suburbiite again in my life. Promised myself I'd never do this, but this is where life is taking me.
Here we are.
Come on, mess.
All right. Well, if anybody wants a gently used white couch, you know how to get a hold of us. All right, 6:13. It is a wrench-throwing Friday. We've already tossed our first wrench of the day. If you'd like to toss one, you know how to do it. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. We've thrown our Twitter link on there as well. Wrench-throwing Friday, very simple. If you're new to the show, there's something that's been bothering you the last 7 days, the last 24 hours, the last hour, the last 5 minutes.
You just tell us about it. We'll toss a wrench for you. Make you feel better going into the weekend. Wrench Throwing Friday, which normally your acronym would be WTF, which normally you'd go, yeah. What the? Yeah. So let's get to the phones because we've got our first phone wrench in a long time. It's our friend 545 Mike this morning at 614. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
Morning, John.
Good morning, Mike. Say hi to Simmer.
Hi, Simmer.
Morning, Michael. How are you?
Very good. I'm a little bit late this morning, John. I was taking a bath.
Oh, nice.
A two-hour bath?
No, I was 15.
Okay.
Nice. That's trending in Ottawa. Water supply is way down, so be careful. That same bath water, now you can't water your lawn.
All right. Here's my wrench. It's a welcome back, lots of love wrench to my good buddy, Simmer. Let her fly, Hammer.
Welcome back. Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, my friend.
Cheers.
Okay. All
right. That took a week's worth of production there. Actually, I take that back. Yeah. Mike called me about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And said, I want to set this up.
Yeah.
How much time do you need to put something like that together? I said, just remind me on Thursday. Call me the day before, remind me, and I'll get her together for you.
Yeah, and I miss the other Fridays, Jerry. I mean, you've got to be hurling wrenches at old 40 there. Saw old Ale DeHamo throwing out a little article on Twitter yesterday. Have you thrown a wrench at 40 for to dying your golf?
Listen,
good call. He hasn't.
No, okay. I don't. I don't want to be a whiner.
Okay.
I'm not going to be a whiner about the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to be the guy that goes on and on and on because everybody who hates golf says, ah, man, you guys love golf. It's all you care about. You don't care about the virus. You just care about golf.
But it's just golf. It's just outdoor recreational activities in general.
You know what I'll throw a wrench at?
Yeah.
Okay. I won't throw a wrench at the idea that you can't be outside safely, apparently. I'll throw the wrench at the idea that apparently government policy is based on a bunch of buddies of the premier. I'll throw a wrench at that stupidity. That's what I'll do.
That guy's yin-yang so far with a firecracker, he wouldn't know what hit him.
Really? I've got some buddies that carpool and have a few beers, and therefore no one can golf. That's what we're basing government policy on now.
When is
the doctors.
Yeah. When is the last time, other than being a road trip in Myrtle Beach, that you've ever carpooled to your golf game?
Never.
Nobody. And I repeat, nobody in Ottawa, unless you're going on a special trip,
you're going to Montreal.
Ever carpools. Are you kidding me? Right? Like, that is, honestly, it really is. It's just so ridiculous to see it. And hey, I'm not talking about the golf. I'm just talking in general here as a society. And again, looking at and just trying to comprehend from a grocery store standpoint, which I understand is important. I go there more than I probably should, but at the end of the day, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but hopefully we'll power through, finish the rest of the month, and we'll see you on the course in June.
Three more weeks to go. I don't remember, and I apologize to whoever wrote it on Twitter yesterday, that Ontario's new slogan shouldn't be, is it still yours to discover? Is that what's on the license plate? I haven't looked either.
Yeah.
It should be changed to a couple more weeks. Without the use of the word A-ah, it's just a couple more weeks.
Yeah, or there's nothing to discover. Do not, under any circumstance, get out and discover anything at this point.
I listen to the docs. Listen to the docs. Which ones? The ones that tell you that outdoor activities are safe? You're not listening to them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to begin my Friday being in a bad mood. I'm in a good mood.
I got nothing but
sunshine in the forecast all weekend. I got two humongous bags of dirt that I'm going to spend moving around all weekend and building a garden instead of playing golf, and I'm very happy about that.
Okay. No, you're
I am
not.
More than happy to be doing that.
Wow, that's a big old fat lie. A wrench to that lie. Who wants to be shoveling dirt instead of golfing?
Building lawns and gardens.
the building of the gardens isn't too bad. It's the edge work that blows my mind as far as for myself. Like to have things kind of proper there. It never seems to. Now, when you step away from it, the edging looks okay, but it never seems to be quite perfect enough when you're using the old shovel. And also, a lot of critiques on your shovel hammer. Did you end up changing that up last week? Because I know people, when you put out your little rock story there, or a couple of weeks ago, people were a little concerned about your style of shovel, right?
Well, was that because you didn't have a plastic shovel.
No. You didn't have the squared off shovel for the actual picking up, right? You had the round one?
I had the round one, yeah.
Yeah, well,
it worked great.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
There were some plastic shovels, too, for the kids.
You sent me a couple pictures, too. Job well done. The backyard looks super.
Oh, I was sitting out there yesterday after my little nap there. I had a nice bevy and just enjoyed the sunshine.
Seeing the world is a fine place.
I just need to find that dang umbrella base, and then I'll be happy.
Can't find that, but I can get you a deal on a good white a white couch, gently used, yeah, with maybe a few stains on it.
I'm more interested in the overly used chair.
Yeah, that chair is a I'm a left leaner. On that chair. No, is it right? No, I'm a right leaner. And so it's actually very sad, guys, because the chair is actually indented on the right side. It's just, wow, that I've spent a lot of time in that chair, sadly.
You're going to have a moment for the chair.
No, I'm not. I'm just laugh. And this is also at Mira's place. I always have to be on the right side of the couch. That's my spot. I don't know if you guys are the same way. Like on your couch chair, do you sit in the same spot all the time?
Most of the time, but yeah. I like to change it up every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm a right couch guy. Yeah. Always, if you're facing it, obviously to the left, that's my little spot right there. I've got to be right there. Got to be, the right arm has to be leaning. It's just funny, all the stupid habits we have in our life.
All right. I'm still trying to get over the fact that Mike, who normally throws wrenches at me, didn't this week, and I'm more than happy with that. Through what really, that was a reverse wrench when you think about
it.
Pretty
much, yeah.
I'm kind of stunned by that. Yeah. So I'm going to need a moment here to gather myself.
Well, and older, or whatever we want to say, advanced age men now taking baths here.
Yeah.
That's really
you. Well, that's all on you. That's your trend.
Pretty solid.
6:20. We'll take a break. When we come back, the NHL playoff picture is now complete after the games of last night. So we'll fill in all the final details for you and get you set for the beginning of the playoffs this weekend. We got four series that will begin this weekend. One of the teams, in fact, the first team that will start off will be the Boston Bruins and their head coach and good friend of the show, Bruce Cassidy. Good Ottawa guy will join us on the show a little bit later on this morning, as will Pierre McGuire. We'll hear from a couple of the Sens to wrap up garbage day and the exit meetings yesterday, specifically Brady Tkachuk, who guested with the boys on In the Box yesterday. We'll hear from Pierre Dorion, by the way, later on today as well. So we'll fill in all the hockey stuff for you throughout the morning, get you set for a busy sports weekend ahead. We'll have some winning. Once again, our TSN $1,200 minute. Somebody could be heading into the weekend with a chance to win $1,000. More of your wrenches and a whole lot more of fun and frivolity here for a Friday morning. That's a whole lot of Fs. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. On this Friday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Don't forget, still to come, TSN $1,200 minute will come up just before 8 o'clock this morning. In fact, with Bruce Cassidy being on at 7:45, we're going to be a little jammed for time. So, all right, so Hammer, what'd you say on the questions this morning?
They're decent for a Friday.
Decent for a Friday.
But you've got some trickery happening with number 4. Because
That's not trickery.
No, people aren't going to remember. Yeah. People will not remember.
We're gonna use the Pat Quinn. He's got some tomfoolery going on.
Yeah.
Hey?
Not trickery. That's some high trickery. And I like 9 because of people's memories as well.
Yes. Nine will be the one that could stump people.
I think 10 too, though. I think the last one takes a little bit of thought.
Really?
As well,
no,
I do.
That's recent history.
Because people aren't really using timelines here.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just saying. Anyway, you go 10 for 10. You win $1,000. Guy, we just can't give it away, right? I'd like to give it away. It's burning a hole in my pocket right now. It's been a few weeks, but you got to work for it a little bit.
Yeah. You're also, it's probably one of those things, probably like Dumb and Dumber. They walked around with all that cash suitcase. They started spending the money, and then they put IOUs. So by the time you go to hand out that $1,000 out of your pocket, you're like, well, I used a little bit for the groceries there. Yeah, and there was a time I was getting gas.
Quite $1,000.
I was at the clubhouse and I actually got a few balls there.
Yeah.
So would you take the $725?
In and of gently used white couch.
And could I interest you in $275 in Pico.
There you go. Now you're talking.
And a free oil change at Kanata Ford.
Kanata Ford,
and
yes.
If you're selling your home,
yes.
Masood Badre.
Masood Badre, you're all set. I got you covered in every single angle there with a little less cash than $1,000. All right, that comes up just before 8 o'clock this morning. All right, 6:28. Let's get some wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. The good ref writes, good morning, guys. I need a WTF wrench to guys who get remarried. Didn't learn the first time, huh? That's from a good ref.
What is Wilson doing?
A wrench to those wannabe celebrity boxers, Jake and Logan Paul. That's from Dave.
Better to have tandems than it is to have threesomes.
I want to throw a firecracker wrench at my city councilor for Ward 21. For 2 years, I've been emailing him about the speed limit on my road with no response. Well, I almost got hit by a car last Friday, emailed him again, and he basically told me to pound sand. That comes from Unsigned.
That'd be up that guy's yin-yang. So far with a firecracker, he wouldn't know what hit him.
Sheriff Unsigned in that case is our good friend Mark Mathon.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, going 80. He's into old man territory. As far as the marriage, guys, I don't know how you feel, and this has nothing to do with me. I don't have a problem with the second time around. You know what? You know, lots of phases in life here, and we're all a little different as we get older. The third time, that's the one I'm really having a bit of a hard time with.
Whatever happened to if you first you don't succeed, try again?
Yeah, no, I agree, Hammer, but I'm just saying, as you get older, you mature, you make the decision. Most times divorce, not great, but you say, hey, you know what? Second time, a little more mature, as I said, a little better feel. But when that one doesn't work out, then you get into the threes and the fours, and you're into kind of Liz Taylor territory. That's a little crazy to me.
Rob writes, a wrench to Mr. One-Dose Summer because he didn't get enough vaccine to make it a two-dose summer. That's from Rob.
The cat runs into the end zone!
And a couple of reverse wrenches. One from Schmoberger, reverse wrench to Simmer. Glad to have you back on the air there, you beauty. That's from Schmoberger. And Cork writes, good morning, boys. Huge reverse wrench to the Mr. Sunday ice cream truck that was in Canada last night while I was walking my dog. I sampled a chocolate-covered cheesecake on a stick. Good day. That's from Cork.
Delicious.
There you go.
Nice. So the ice cream trucks are already out?
Apparently.
And they're allowed to kind of cruise around and do their thing.
And it's in Canada. Yeah, people could gather there.
Wow.
What's going on with that? Anyway, yeah, I missed it. If it was in Canada, I missed that. I'm not happy about that.
Kids aren't outside anyways. They're inside plugging away on their phones and their video games. They're not even hearing that bell from the basement.
It's only from bored parents that are out walking because they have nothing else to do.
They're the ones getting
gosh, that's actually a real good point now that you say it. I mean, you look out on the main road where I'm at, good old Riverside South. My gosh, the amount of families that are out walking, that's pretty good strategy. I'm not really feeling, though, guys. Now, as we get to yesterday, maybe get to the weekend, JR, next week. That's where I could see cruising around, or maybe when you're working out. But overall, hasn't been warm enough yet for me to say, oh, you know what, the ice cream truck comes back. But it looks like we're entering into that, where Wednesday looks like could be a high of 28. So we'll take that.
All right, 6:31. Let's take you to, and it's like the drip, drip, drip of this NHL regular season now. It cannot get over fast enough. Yeah. And, well, for the Canadian Division teams, it will not be over fast enough. The American Division teams, though, at least, or American-based teams, wrapped up the season last night, and there was one game of significance.
5 seconds. Kings send it down ice. Icing is waved off. 2 seconds. 1 second. Sound the horn. The Colorado Avalanche are the 2021 President's Trophy winners and the best in the West.
Okay, so, and listen, no good for Colorado. Big 5-goal second period to beat L.A. 5-1, so they clinch the West. Do we need to be giving out the President's Trophy in a year in which there was no games between all the divisions? Does that really, I'm thinking about that, does that really make a lot of sense? Or do we just do it because we just always do it?
Yeah,
the teams didn't play each other this year.
No, it's a great point, Jerry. I don't have a problem. I think Greg Millen mentioned the other day that trophies should be given out by division because they didn't all play each other. Yeah, I understand some of that, but I still like it at the end of the day. I still think the accumulation of points. Now, you'd have to go through kind of a power ranking, I guess, of each division, right? And is it valid? I still think in the case of Colorado it is, but I understand your argument. I understand from a standpoint of not only with the trophies, but in normal year, depending on the trophy, the lack of knowledge that so many of the people have voting. Do you imagine in a season like this, for most American reporters, and I'll say this to some extent Canadians, although I think we follow it more, like that person out west, like how much have they honestly watched any little bit of the Canadian division if they're voting on any of the awards? So certainly get your point, but I also kind of dislike organizationally for the trend that Colorado's had for where they were when Mr. Bednar or Mr. Bednash took over, and kind of wonder, hey, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, do you look at some parallels as to the way that Colorado's been built and hoping that Ottawa can trend that way?
Mm-hmm. You know? So the playoffs are now set with the Avalanche win last night. They will play the St. Louis Blues in the first round of the playoffs. That series will begin on Monday, and that means Vegas will play Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs. That series will begin on Sunday afternoon. So here's the setup for your playoff weekend. Four of the series will begin this weekend. Just one game tomorrow, Boston at Washington. That's the primetime Saturday night game at 7 o'clock, and that'll be a great series, I think. And then on Sunday, three more series begin at noon. It's Pittsburgh and the Islanders. At 3 o'clock, it is Vegas and Minnesota. And then at 7 o'clock on Sunday, it is Florida and Tampa. So those three series will begin on Sunday. And then the other four series will begin early next week or mid-next week. In the case of the Canadian division, Winnipeg and Edmonton will start Wednesday. And it'll be Toronto and Montreal starting Thursday. They officially released the schedules yesterday. So Toronto and Montreal will not begin until almost another week from now, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I think a nice advantage for Montreal, Jer. Bit of a reset, maybe some practice under Mr. Ducharme. More importantly, can you get everybody healthy, allow Toronto to sit for a little bit? So I think that should help them. And saying to hammer off the air, kind of my power ranking, I'm excited about Boston, Washington, which you will have on at 7:45. Certainly Toronto, Montreal, Florida, Tampa. What's interesting historically is I never liked the New York Islanders, but now under Barry Trotz, if you ask me who would you prefer to watch, Pittsburgh or the Islanders? In this case, I can watch both. I've actually become, after last year, a fan of watching the Islanders play, so that'll be a fun series. Can't get into anything to do with Minnesota or St. Louis, but the rest will be good to go.
I think Minnesota-Vegas will be interesting.
I think I agree.
Minnesota is maybe the most, I don't know if underrated is the right way, just people haven't paid attention to them because, well, they're Minnesota.
Yeah, for sure.
They've had a fantastic year.
They really have.
Everybody says that Vegas is an absolute Stanley Cup contender.
So
everybody wants to see Vegas and Colorado in round two for the Western Division Championship. But you got to get your win your first round matchups. And if I look at those two matchups, we'll see. I could be dead wrong on this one, but I think Minnesota will give Vegas a good series. I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll give them a good series.
No, totally. I guess this is more my perception, but imagine, and for this, for the division, and this isn't an enormous year, JR, but if you're Vegas, you've ended up 40-14-2. Your first round matchup is 35-16-5. Your second round matchup is most likely 39-13-4, right? Like, wow.
Murder's row.
Like it really is. Like, thanks for coming. But I guess you could also say you're pretty battle-tested in it. But you wonder, and we've seen this historically, I guess it was back when St. Louis would roll through their division or maybe a San Jose where you're so beat up as you roll out of your own division that by the time you get to the conference final, you don't have a whole lot left. So, yeah, going to be a tough road. If Vegas pulls it off on a year like this, or anybody, I guess, within that division, job well done.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now. So right in the NHL's overall standings, Minnesota is ninth. So if you look at Vegas, right, they're tied for first overall. They end up finishing second because of the tiebreaker. Yeah. They potentially, to win the Stanley Cup, could have to beat the ninth best team, just in terms of points, crazy year. Ninth place team, first place team. And then as good as the fifth place team and the third place team, like 9-1-3-5.
Yeah.
You'd have to potentially beat those four teams to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Has anyone in NHL history gone through a gauntlet like that before?
I wouldn't think so. I'm just trying to think of, historically, what would be your strongest division? You know, there was years that the Patrick division was. There was certainly would have been years for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. But once you got out of it, well, the semifinals.
It was awful. It was god-awful. Yeah. But Winnipeg had some underrated teams. Edmonton was great, but you're right. The Norris was almost a tune-up, right? That was a tune-up against Chicago.
A little vacay.
To whoever you're going to face in the finals. And then you got Boston trudging through the winner of the Patrick division like the Devils. And really didn't have a whole lot left. So, I can't imagine that there's been a tougher kind of ranking. And also from points percentage, I was trying to think yesterday from a Sens perspective, in a normal year, goals for, goals against. But as far as points, if you have projected all this out, this would be one of the tougher years, I assume, for Vegas. And going to be, they got one hell of a hockey team. But at the same time, Colorado's got that same feeling where they've been building. And I just looked at it, JR. It was 5 years ago where Bednarz took over, or Bednar. They were 22 and I think 50 whatever.
They had a 48-point year.
And I think their goal differential was minus 111. Then they started to slowly, so it was that year. Now it's been 4 years of building. If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, do you look at this year as that final kind of write-off? And would that be a trend that you would certainly like to model and like to think, hey, in 4 years from now, is it realistic to think that the Ottawa Senators could win a President's Trophy or challenge for it? I do think it is. So to me, that's a bit of a roadmap if you're a Sens fan.
If it took 4 years, if Ottawa was going to do it, I think it's happening faster than 4 years. I don't think it's going to take. It's going to take if it's going to happen. A lot of details have to be filled in. I would look at if I'm thinking about the Sens right now. And it'll depend on the summer. Next year, challenge for a playoff spot.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years from now, challenge for a division title.
Okay.
3 years from now, challenge for Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that would be what I think is, and that's all best case scenario, my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you'd almost, it'd be fun to kind of do a deep dive on some of the teams. And hey, there's been teams like Chicago, and of course we've seen LA and even Washington, you build up. You think about initially with Colorado, kind of where they went, how the initial rebuild started. That first rebuild was centered around Duchesne and Ryan O'Reilly, right? I mean, now the next wave of McKinnon and Tarantinen kind of came through. So, you know, in essence, they bottomed out, changed out some of the parts, continued almost a second rebuild, and here they are with one hell of a hockey team.
All right, so after the results of last night, we can tell you that the Ottawa Senators will finish either 9th or 10th in the overall standing. So this, of course, is important based for the draft lottery odds. Not that there's nearly the amount of interest this year as there has been in years past. But Calgary won last night, so they moved past Ottawa. Yeah. So the Sens, as it sits right now, are in 10th place. The only way they can move up one spot, that's 10th from last, would be if the Vancouver Canucks win 3 of their last 4 games to pass Ottawa in the standings. That's the only way it could change. So they're either 9th or 10th. And in terms of percentage of winning the draft lottery, if you are in 10th place, it is 3.5% chance. If you're in 9th place, it's 4.5%. So it's only a 1% difference. And again, the odds are very long. So in all likelihood, Ottawa will, they'll choose one of either 1st, 2nd, 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th.
Okay.
And as it sits right now, with only about a 7% chance of getting into the top two, 93% chance they sit right where they are right now, which is about, it'll either be 9th or 10th.
Yeah.
So top 10 pick, but right at the bottom of the top 10.
And historically, memory-wise, JR, is it New Jersey and then last year with the Rangers that have had the biggest leaps? Mm-hmm. What were the Rangers last year? Were they in the
11?
11? Okay.
Remember we had the double, right?
It
was
the team
had actually sort of qualified for the play-in round. Somehow we have to have another draft lottery a little bit later on.
Yeah. What was that theory?
Shenanigans. Cold balls theory.
Cold balls theory
was born by Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks, then Gary Bettman, at one point Jeff Molson, Club Super Six, Alexis Lafreniere, ends up New York Rangers, CBT, cold balls theory.
Yeah, but, and joke's on you. Now the general manager's been fired, and if the draft was held today, are you in agreement that Timmy Stutz would be the first pick overall?
You know what? I didn't watch enough of Lafreniere. Okay, I know he had a good second half of the year. I'm not 100% prepared to say that Stutzla is far and away the best guy.
I'm not saying he's far and away. I'm just saying if the draft was held today, that from the perception of Lafreniere at the time to Stutzla now to even Byfield, is it at least in the war room you're having the discussion? That's all. Where Lafreniere after the World Junior 2 years ago, lock it down. There was never a discussion. There was a bit of Byfield, although after his World Junior, I don't think you felt that. But at the very least, and I think this even occurred after the World Junior, there's no doubt that the LA Kings have looked at this and thought, you know what? We like Byfield an awful lot, had a decent year in the American Hockey League, but the look of a Timmy Stutz will be in a star, at least, as I say, projecting out. It'll be very close between he and Lafreniere.
Yeah, I think the whole thing on Byfield, though, and if we're being fair, the discussion all along has been, of the three guys, it will take him the longest to get there. And that was established from before the draft, right? This is not a guy who's going to pop right away.
Yeah.
That these other guys will be guys that will come in and have an impact right away. It's more of a long game with Byfield. We'll wait and see if it happens. It was a bit of a slog this year, but I was just reading a couple of things, and it was like, you know, as the season went on, he got better, but it's going to be, as with everything, you got to wait 3 or 4 years before you know for sure.
No, for sure. And I do think a little bit of a benefit, Jared. I don't think it's a bad thing. As an 18-year-old, more and more kids playing in the American Hockey League. Interesting part for LA next year, it's either play in LA or go back to junior. Either there's a pretty good chance he spends the whole year in the National Hockey League. But long term, you're right. It's a long ways, but it's just exciting from a Sens perspective, as I said. And
he gets traded for Jack Eichel.
Yeah, that's true. That's certainly, when you look at that and you look at Lafreniere, I think a pretty good chance if trades are being made, that if it's the Rangers or LA, they're involved. And disappointed with Team USA. Did someone say there was a paperwork issue with Jake Sanderson and he wasn't able to somehow get on the roster?
I didn't hear it. Was that the reason?
Well, yeah, that's what I can't really... The guy,
Chris Peters, the guy that's pretty plugged into USA Hockey, said 99% Sanderson will be on the team.
Yeah.
That's why I went with the story earlier in the week, but I never heard why he was left off.
That's what came up late in the day yesterday was, and I just kind of thought that's a bit weird. I mean, he's a dual passport guy. I don't know what the hell the paperwork would be quite. Latvia is part of the European Union. You don't need even a visa to go in there. So, yeah, a little surprise as to what happened. Maybe we can get to the bottom of it, but that would have been a whole lot of fun. I was really excited to try to watch him at the World Championships.
All right. Well, we will see four Ottawa Senators at the World Championships. Two for Canada, of course, Connor Brown and Nick Paul, and two for Russia. Artem Zub and Nikita Zaitsev indicated yesterday that he will play for Russia as well. We'll have coverage of the World Hockey Championships here on TSN 1200. It'll all begin 1 week from today as Canada will take on the host Latvians. We'll take a break. Still to come, we'll hear from some of the Sens on what was garbage bag day or exit meeting day, including Brady Tkachuk talking a little bit about his summer, which will also involve what Ottawa Senator fans hope will be a contract extension. So we'll hear from Brady about that coming up on the show. We'll also hear from DJ Smith as well. Pierre Dorion, Sens GM, is scheduled to meet with the media a little bit later on this morning. And we're hoping we'll guest as well here on TSN 1200. And then that will put a wrap on the Sens 2021 season. Next up on the agenda of things of interest will be the draft lottery, June the 2nd. And then, of course, the expansion draft, the draft itself, and free agency all coming up in the month of July. Pierre Dorion on all of that and a busy Sen summer ahead coming up later on today. We'll take a break at 6:45. When we return, we'll get into the rest of the sports story and get you set for a busy weekend. Belleville Senators have three games in 3 days versus Manitoba, and the cavalry came in from the big league Sens yesterday, including Logan Brown and Parker Kelly and Philip Gustafson. So it will be a beefed up BSN squad tonight. We'll have the game for you as they'll take on Manitoba at 7:00. So back with much more and more of your wrenches on this Wrench Throwing Friday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:51 on this Wrench Throwing Friday. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. Wrench to Simmer for comparing Ottawa to Colorado. It's not even in the same universe. That comes from Unsigned.
Just sweating and sharding at the same time.
Wrench to Bob Chiarelli for thinking he should be mayor again. We'd be better off if we re-elected, exhumed Charlotte Whitten. That comes from Bob, I'm assuming not Chiarelli.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
Well, that creates an interesting thing of someone being exhumed to become the new mayor. So there we go.
Yeah, on the Colorado side, Jer, so Rantanen and MacKinnon, absolutely understand. Tkachuk, Stützle, not even the same stratosphere.
Are you asking rhetorically?
Yeah, no, I'm asking.
I didn't throw the wrench.
I'm asking you, you know, kind of perception-wise. Like, do you, or, and again, I understand MacKinnon, you're talking about one of the top players in the National Hockey League. So do you reach that? But gosh, when you go to Norris, to Batherson, you kind of go through some of the other players. You got Shabbat on the blue line. You got Sanderson coming. You got some other pieces. I don't think it's going to be far off. And I actually, if you think from a depth standpoint, probably just like Colorado, your biggest question is in goal. I think this is always the early phase you go through, but no, I think Ottawa's got a pretty good template right now, to be quite honest with you.
Well, everybody will doubt you until you do it.
Oh, for right? sure.
So,
for sure, yeah.
I mean, that's standard operating procedure on any young team, if we're talking about team sport or whatever, you know, everybody is like, yeah, go and do it. And then some will do it and some will fall.
Yeah, for sure.
And so the naysayers will always say, well, you know, look at Team X, they were supposed to be great and they fell on their face, and that does happen. Absolutely. Yeah. Not every team that looks like it's building to win eventually wins. Some of them, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But all you can do is lay the foundation, right? And right now, I think we could all agree the foundation is very good for Ottawa.
Yeah, and I do think from an Ottawa perspective, where I'm leaning towards is that you got the Montreal Canadiens down the road, and I'll use the first round of the playoffs between Montreal and Toronto. Toronto is a very similar model to Ottawa, where there was a plan to rebuild. You got the pieces in place. It's risen up. I really think Ottawa's trending towards that, similar to Colorado, to what we saw to some extent in LA, Chicago, Washington, Pittsburgh, where the Montreal Canadiens are just kind of coming and going, right? You got a little bit of a crew that the young Caulfield coming in, Suzuki, Kotkaniemi, Then you got the old guard of Price and Weber and a bunch of guys that have been brought in. So for the foundation that's being laid, I think there's very much a template out there that shows you, hey, as you said, no guarantee, but it's certainly a guarantee that you're going to have a very competitive hockey team in a couple of years. I'd be shocked. Now, a Stanley Cup, well, Colorado hasn't even won that, but I'd be shocked if Ottawa's not a real nice hockey team in a couple of years.
So it was exit meeting day yesterday, so the players are on their merry way to points unknown. DJ Smith, the head coach, met as well. And he guested yesterday with the boys on In the Box. If you missed it, you can find it on our website, tsn1200.ca. Pierre Dorion will speak later on today and is expected to be on TSN 1200 as well. The Sens have five restricted free agents of note. Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, Artem Zub. I'll use Victor Mete as a restricted free agent of note. I wouldn't have said that when they got him on waivers a few weeks ago, but I'll say he's of note. He's not at the level of a Tkachuk or a Batherson, but he's definitely of interest. And Filip Gustavsson, the goalie, is also a restricted free agent. Brady Tkachuk guested on In the Box yesterday and, of course, was asked the million-dollar question, or in this case, the multi-million-dollar question, about his contract status.
I'm just going to kind of sit back here and let my agent Pierre they're both great in their respective fields and let them talk about it this summer. So whatever happens. I absolutely love playing here. I love the city and I love the teammates here and the staff here. It's just so much fun to come to the rink every single day and I especially love the fans too. So I love everything about this city and I'm excited to see what happens, and it's all going to work out. So I'm definitely excited for what's to come.
There you go. He checked every box on everything that he knows that he should say. And I'm not saying that he's making any of that up. But I think that the key word there is that it was right at the end. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's some angst out there. I don't think it's as bad as it has been in years past with other free agents. Yeah. I mean, you threw the bomb in last week about an offer sheet.
Yeah.
But I think generally speaking, and maybe it just speaks to the overall optimism about the team, I think amongst the fan base, there isn't nearly the level of angst there is. There is a lot of interest in what length of contract he's going to get.
Yeah.
But I think people think that a deal is going to get done at some point.
And I think it will, Jared. It'll be a bridge deal, in my estimation. If it's long-term, that's awesome. A few things I'll come back to, but when I look at this, this is a little different circumstance. But normally, and we saw this with the last crew, we saw it with Mark Stone. It's amazing, JR. First of all, you're in the National Hockey League. I am getting paid no matter what happens. This isn't one business where all of a sudden you get a call, hey, you shut down or there's no money. You are guaranteed as a hockey player. We saw with Stone, we've seen with other players that even with the craziness in Ottawa, players come to the rink every day. They're hanging out with their buddies. They love it. They'll sign up. They think this is great. Now, what is Craig Oster, the uncle, the family member, and a very experienced agent who has had everybody from Stone to Pageau to Carlson, tons of Ottawa players. What does he say? What does Dad say? That's where it makes it a little different. And I'm going to ask you a question. I was driving around yesterday. I was thinking, you know what? From my perspective, a bridge deal from the Tkachuk camp and getting that done in Ottawa, my thought and theory is that I don't think that's a bad thing, because I do think in a lot of ways it's going to keep the Ottawa Senators accountable for continuing on a path of building as they have built, more importantly, showing that they want to win a championship and they're going to spend. Because I'm not saying if they sign long-term that, you know, that Brady Tkachuk, you know, is going to just look the other way. But I think in that particular case, JR, my theory, and I'm asking you if you would agree, that would probably be where it'd be like, okay, I like it. I'm going to sign for 3 years, but you need to keep showing me that you honestly want to win have a championship team.
So you're saying that you think that if he signed a long-term deal that, Pierre Dorion would just go, okay, my work is done here?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not saying that, because at any time, Tkachuk could say, listen, I signed up here long-term. This isn't working. But I do believe in the case of a three-year contract, they basically said, listen, we're real happy here. Brady loves it. But, hey, we've told you we're here for a reason. The reason is to win a championship. You better continue on that in the next phase of, first of all, making the team better. And as the owner has said in the past, he better spend the money here to keep them together. So I don't think that's a bad thing. That was kind of what I was equating or thinking about yesterday.
Yeah, fair point. I think that is a fair point. I'll say the other part of it is, you know, if it's a bridge deal of either 2 or 3 years. And again, for those that don't know, from the end of your rookie contract, which he's at right now, you have team control of him for another 4 years he becomes an unrestricted free agent. And you would never, ever, ever want to, as the term says, walk a guy to free agency. You would never give him a four-year or you never should give him a four-year contract. I'll put it that way. So it should be either a bridge deal of 2 or 3 years, or it should be 5 years or more, where you're buying some of his unrestricted unrestricted years. Exactly. So, it's an interesting thought. I think the other part is, look, if everything goes. It's never going to go 100% like you want it to, but if it's even 80 to 90% of going in a positive direction, in 2 to 3 years, if it ends up being a bridge deal, I mean, first of all, he's going to be paid a buckets of money no matter what. And if he continues to evolve and be a great player, he's only going to get more next time. He's going to be, you would hope, in the middle of a winning environment. There will be an incentive, I believe, to stay because in 2 to 3 years from this team should be on the cusp of saying to itself, we could potentially win a championship here.
For sure.
And there aren't a lot, you know, if the money is equal, there aren't a lot of players that walk away from a championship caliber team if the contract offer is decent, you know, in 2 to 3 years. So I think from that perspective, you know, what you say makes some sense as well.
Yeah, and to your point as well, there's years, hey, that things go wrong. But as an athlete, no matter how emotional you are, by the time the season ends, and God, we watched Steve Yzerman for years, JR, but you looked at Detroit at the time and said, okay, they're trying everything they possibly can. Now, finances at that time were a little bit different how it was handled, but generally Steve Yzerman at the end of the season be like, I'm pissed off, but it's more about me. What can we do to win a championship? As long as an athlete, you feel like, okay, we put everything in place. I feel like ownership, both in the summer and at the trade deadline, did everything. There's nothing more you can ask for. That's all. You know, versus, boy, I wish we had spent a little bit more money in the offseason. I wish we had been more active at the trade deadline. A little bit like Winnipeg, I think, feels right now, where the players kind of look around and think, you know what, you don't have many years where you go for it. So those are the only things that, hey, as I said, it kind of keeps everybody in check to make sure and say, hey, this is why we're here. I don't want to be sitting on $10 million of cap space going into a season or a trade deadline where you wonder at the end of the season, had we spent a little bit more money and had a player or two that we could have brought home a championship.
And Winnipeg is a great cautionary tale for Ottawa because it's a great comparable. 3 years ago, they went to the conference final, right? They you know, were within one series win of going to a Stanley Cup final.
They were
a good young team. Everybody said, which of Winnipeg or Toronto is going to be, you know, the Canadian team that's going to win the Stanley Cup? Well, here we are, and you know, they actually went down this year. They went up. Now at the end of the year, they're falling off. But I would say right now, they would seem to be, I don't say they're on the slippery slope, but they're just kind of hanging on by their fingernails bit of being a Stanley Cup contender. And it can close quickly on you. Think that these windows are going to stay open forever and for a bunch of different reasons. And again, Winnipeg and Ottawa are very similar markets, small Canadian markets. There isn't a ton of dough around. It's you got to scrape it together every single season. So I think if Ottawa kind of looks at Winnipeg and sees the mistakes maybe that were made by the Jets to keep as their window starts to open here a little bit and learn from those mistakes as they kind of set their team going forward.
Yeah, absolutely, and kind of the domino effect of a summer where, okay, you understand that Trouba wants a trade. Maybe Sherratt leaves. Would you have signed Myers knowing that the Bufflin was going to quit, right? That's a crazy circumstance. And then start to look around and recognize you've done great drafting. Scheifele, Ehlers, and Connor, look at that little trio. But you also start to understand, what is Blake Wheeler now, 33 years old? He's one of your key components there. Yeah, you're starting to lose some depth. You're starting to age out. And I do wonder for them, and we'll get into our picks for the playoffs. You've got a guy like Hellebuck that I do wonder if they ran him into the ground. I think he leads the NHL in saves at almost 1,300. You know, he's played a lot of hockey, and we saw last year was not very good in the play-in round. And let's face facts, against the Edmonton Oilers, to me, he's a deciding factor. If he plays like the guy that won the Vezina Trophy last year, they might win the series. If he doesn't, it's going to be a short one.
All right, we'll do some playoff picks, as you mentioned, coming up a little bit later on in the show. I also went through, because Pierre Dorion is going to meet with the media today and kind of wrap up the season and look ahead to what his summer is going to be like. And like with all general managers, it is going to be busy. I went through all of the Ottawa player transactions from last summer through today. All the trades and all the free agent signings and everything, and kind of put them in their own little buckets. And so we can spend some time going through that and decide, And I think Pierre Dorion's taken a lot of slings from a lot of fans this year based on, and a lot of it is the perception of the steamships that were signed, the big defensemen, right? But yeah. I think if you look at everything in its entirety, well, I don't want to suggest how you should look at it, but it's interesting. So yeah. We'll get into that coming up in the next half hour about the job that Pierre Dorion, the Sens general manager, has done in this past hockey season. But for now, we'll take a break. A little past 7 o'clock, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA Rundown, a busy scoreboard. Well, a not-so-busy scoreboard, an important scoreboard, because the Avalanche have clinched the Western title and the President's Trophy. We'll tell you what that means as far as the playoffs go. And we'll return with a discussion about Pierre Dorion, $1,000 minute. And coming up at 7:45, good Ottawa guy, friend of the show, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, will join us ahead of their series kicking off tomorrow with Washington. It's all straight ahead right here for a Friday. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio TSN 1200.